Do we have a chalice lighter? Do we have someone who's actually going to light the chalice when it comes time? You want to light the chalice when it comes time? Okay, so when it comes time, you're going to go over there, and somebody over there will help you light it when it's time. Okay. And so with that, let's begin with our prelude. Good morning. How y'all doing? Bet some of you are thinking this is kind of early for a Christmas pageant, isn't it? Well, there are a lot of things going on this month, not the least of which is that Sunday, December 21st, happens to be winter solstice. We don't often have winter solstice on the Sunday on which it happens, so we're going to make that a winter solstice service. It'll be not quite pagan enough for the pagans, but a little too pagan for everybody else, so it should be just fine. And then next week we will have a humanist for the holidays for our folks who go through this time and are needing to figure out how to make some meaning in a space where they may not believe in God or in Jesus in particular. So we want to make sure all of our bases are covered, that everybody has a wonderful holiday season, and so this week we start with our Christmas pageant. And to do so, we are going to practice some songs. Before we do that, I want to offer gratitude to Ben Hanley, who is visiting with us this week, playing a couple of duets with Rachel. They apparently church swap, is that right? Yeah, what's the other church?
Troy United Methodist.
Troy United Methodist. And so Rachel will play at Troy United Methodist at some other time this month, correct?
Yes.
On a Wednesday. Okay. So we thank you for being here, and that was absolutely lovely. So we want to practice some of the hymns that we're going to sing during this pageant to make sure we got them down so we don't have to practice them when we get there. So the first one is called Christmas is Here. We're just going to sing it straight through, and depending on how good we get at it, we might sing it as a round a little later. Okay? And this is all you have to know is this little bit of words. And we'll hear it through once. Got it. You join in with me, and we'll sing it through a couple of times. You ready? Let's go ahead and do it again.
Christmas is here, it's the time of the year to celebrate and be of good cheer. Alleluia, alleluia, Christmas is here.
One more time, just you. Loud. Feel good on that one? Yeah. It's amazing when I say get loud, you suddenly sing with confidence and sound wonderful. So sing with that same force. You'll be great. So then the next song is Spirit of the Christmas Tree. And for this one, I'll sing the verses later, and you'll sing this chorus. And so we'll practice the chorus now. Just the chorus, yeah. In fact, if you just want to play the notes, I think that would be fine. Join with me as you got it.
I've got a light and it shines in me. It shines in the eyes of the little baby. It lives in you and it lives in me. It lives in the spirit of the Christmas tree.
One more time.
I've got a light and it shines in me. It shines in the eyes of a little baby. It lives in you and it lives in me. Lives in the spirit of the Christmas tree.
Just you now, loud. Y'all are just fabulous. I love it. Okay, and so then the next one. There are 6 sung responses throughout our nativity, and I want to thank Sandy Shaner for reading our nativity today and for the many people who have either volunteered or been forcefully volunteered into service of the narrative. There will be different words each time. This is the first time we sing it, but it'll be the same hymn every time. So let's just hear the melody for it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? My name is Joy Heff, and I serve this church as a religious education teacher, and I've been a member here for 31 years. Since I was 16, so. everyone is invited to stay following this worship for fellowship conversation and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend you a welcome, special welcome, and invite you to fill out one of our visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. Each week, the worship service is unique, and we invite you to attend a few Sundays to get a feel of what to expect. Today is our monthly intergenerational service. All children and youth are invited to sit with their families during today's worship. People of all ages are welcome to come forward and take pipe cleaners, coloring sheets, and other items from our spirit chair. As always on intergenerational Sundays, we accept movement and a little bit of noise as a part of our experience of radical community. We do have a professionally staff nursery for infants and young children. Adults are encouraged to attend the adult religious education program at 11:50. If you'd like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there's an information rack on our fellowship hall where there's pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with members and learn more, and encourage current members to seek out visitors and share with them this beloved community. We welcome everyone into the home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Okay. Opening words. We welcome together this morning in the spirit of the season, seeking to rekindle our souls in the darkness of winter. We come to celebrate the joy, the hope, and the love that is Christmas. In this place, we listen for the sound of angel voices and look for the star that promises a lighted path. We come in search of the deepest gifts that Christmas has to offer. Indeed, we come in search of ourselves. For within the celebrations and stories of this Christmas season, we yearn to embrace a deeper understanding of our own lives. We are ever hopeful that the outwardness of our preparations, the card writing, the gift giving, and the tree trimming, and the festive food will somehow prepare us for the inward event we are all really seeking. Let us rejoice in the season. Let us be glad that Christmas is here. And I have just a few announcements. The first one is from Juliet. And each year our church sponsors a family for Christmas through the Oasis Women's Center. The center provides housing for women and children that are victims of domestic violence. We have sponsored one family this year, and there are still quite a few things left on their list. Each item should have a value of less than $30 for each item. Please, please, if you are able, sign up on the board in the Kate Worker Fellowship Hall and return your wrapped gifts by next Sunday, December 14th. And the next one, there are some UUA Standing on the Side Love bumper stickers for sale. They are on the desk. Put a $2 sticker in the $2 in the jar for the sticker. So this is.
Okay. And I have a couple of announcements. If you are relatively new to the congregation or considering signing the book and becoming a member, we will have a new to you program at 11:50 today. So we invite you to participate in the potluck, which is our first Sunday potluck, and then feel free to bring food or whatever you like. I believe we're meeting in Emerson Place, unless we need to find another location, I'll let you know. But if you are relatively new or want to learn more, I encourage you to come. Also, if you're a leader of the church, you're in the board, you're a staff person, I also highly encourage you to attend that program. If you are a person who is pagan or particularly celebrates the winter solstice and would like to help with the winter solstice service on the 21st, please contact me today so that I know that. And I believe that is it. Thank you.
Okay, and now we will sing Christmas is Here, which is up on the board, up on the wall.
Christmas is here, it's the time of the year to celebrate and be good cheer. Alleluia, alleluia, Christmas is here.
Do it again.
Christmas is here. Christmas is here, it's the time of the year to celebrate and be a good cheer.
So at this time, we invite the folks to read our chalice lighting to come forward, and you may be seated. And for our chalice lighter to light our chalice.
Light is a powerful image, especially at Christmas time. In this season of the darkest night, we light candles, outline our homes with colorful Christmas bulbs, and decorate trees with all the sparkle we can muster. We brighten our world as a reminder in our deepest selves that darkness need not prevail.
Today we celebrate our faith in love and our hope for a better world. May this light brightly glow in our hearts, for its flame burns with the wonder and mystery that is Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Good morning. I'm Juliette Cronwillis. I'm the Religious Education Coordinator, and this morning I'm presenting the story for all ages. It's called Do You See What I See? By Joyce Polly. Lucas could hardly wait to get home from school. Clutched in his hands was the picture he had drawn in class, the picture that showed so clearly what had happened to him that day. Never had he been so excited. You see, Lucas was the tallest kid in the class, and all year long his classmates had made fun of him. They thought it was a big joke that he was a full head taller than anybody else, and they constantly teased him, calling him names like Lucas Long Legs, So Lucas did not like going to school very much. At least not until today. Today, everything had changed. For the first time in his life, Lucas was happy to be the tallest one in the class. That's because on this very morning, his teacher had asked him to make a golden star of shimmering tinsel and to place it at the top of the Christmas tree. Everyone had wanted to make the star, but no one else could reach that high. So for once, because he was the tallest, Lucas got to do something very special. Lucas raced home, trying to imagine what his mom and dad would say. They were sure to be as excited as he was. Bursting through the back door, he headed straight into the kitchen, where his mother had just finished baking a batch of his favorite chocolate chip cookies. But Lucas was not interested in cookies. "Hey, Mom, look at this! This is the neatest thing that ever happened today at school," and thrusting the picture right under her nose, he eagerly waited for the response. "Oh, Lucas, what a lovely picture. A Christmas tree, how very beautiful." Lucas blinked, swallowed hard, and waited for her to say something more. But his mother put the picture down on the kitchen table and headed for the fridge. "Would you like some milk with your cookie?" "Mom," he said, trying not to look disappointed, "don't you see what's in the picture? Don't you see what happened?" Well, she picked it up again, and looking more carefully this time, she said, "Oh, yes, of course I see. Everyone was holding hands. I should have seen that right away. Friendship is a very important part of the Christmas season, don't you think? It's a time to remember how we love one another." Lucas could have cried. Why didn't she get it? It was right there in front of her nose. What was she thinking? Oh well, his dad would get it for sure. Lucas grabbed his picture and bounded down the hallway to the den where his father was working. Dad, look at this. You'll never guess what happened today. Lucas handed his special picture to his father. Oh, well, Lucas, what do we have here? A Christmas tree and your classmates and... "Well, who's this tall person here with one arm raised up really high?" "Well, of course, that must be your teacher, leading everyone in song. You know, that's what I love the most about Christmas, Luke, the beautiful carols. I bet you had a good time singing today, didn't you?" "Dad, that is not what we're doing. Don't you see anything else? Look at the tree. Don't you see? We each made our own ornament." "You did? Well, now, let's have another look." "Well, yes, indeed. There are certainly lots of beautiful ornaments here. Which one is yours, Lucas?" Lucas couldn't believe it. How could his dad not see which one was his? How could he miss that? "Ugh, it doesn't matter which one," said Lucas. "I just wanted to... just never mind." His father could see the disappointment on Lucas's face, but he wasn't sure what else to say. You okay, Luke?" he asked softly. "Did I say something wrong?" Lucas couldn't answer. Hiding his disappointment as best as he could, he picked up his picture and retreated to his bedroom. Maybe it wasn't important anyways. He could just bury his picture at the bottom of his dresser or something and just forget about it. But forgetting wasn't so easy. And the next day, Lucas was still feeling really glum. When his grandmother arrived, he tried to put on a cheerful face, but Grandma always knew when something wasn't quite right. "Hey, you want to tell me what's going on, what's on your mind, Lucas?" "Nah, nothing," he said, and cast his eyes down. It's just that no one seems to get my drawing." "Oh, really?" said Grandma. "Which drawing is that?" "Oh, it's just something I did at school yesterday." "Well, I would like to see it," said Grandma. Lucas didn't want to get it, but he could never say no to Grandma, so reluctantly he brought her the picture. "Oh, well, my, this is a very fine drawing, Lucas. And is this you I see standing tiptoe with your arm raised up high? Yes, that's right, he said, suddenly becoming interested. At least she knows which one is me, he thought to himself. Well, it looks to me like you have just put the star on the top of the Christmas tree where it belongs, Grandma continued. I bet that's because you were the only one tall enough to reach that high. Is that right? Lucas couldn't believe his ears. Oh, Grandma! Let me tell you the whole story. I had such a good day yesterday. Lucas climbed up onto Grandma's lap and told her all about his wonderful day and about how the teacher had asked him to make the star and put it on the top of the tree, and he was the tallest one in the whole class. Just think, Grandma, when I stood up to put the star on the tree, nobody laughed. Nobody yelled, "Hey, Lucas, long legs," like they usually do. How about that, Grandma? Grandma nodded and smiled and hugged him close. But soon Lucas got quiet again. Well, Lucas, Grandma said, something's still bothering you about this picture. What is it? He sighed and then very quietly told her about the things that Mom and Dad had said about it. Why didn't they see what I was trying to show them? He asked. I thought it was really clear. Grandma was quiet for a few moments, and then she spoke very slowly and carefully. You know, Lucas, everyone sees things differently, and that's true about pictures or anything else in life. What you intend to show may not always be what others see, but what they see isn't necessarily wrong either. It's just different. Your mom saw love and friendship in the picture because the children were holding hands. And your dad saw children singing carols because the music is the most important part of Christmas for him. And they both admired the beauty of the tree with its colorful ornaments. Look how much they saw, Lucas. What a rich picture you have drawn. Lucas looked closely at his picture again, squinting his eyes as he tried to see it differently. Suddenly, he saw the way they had and realized that Grandma was right. His picture could tell more than one story. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. He decided he was glad he had shown it to his mom and dad after all. But he was even more glad that he had shown it to his grandma. He needed someone to see it the way he did that day. Lucas snuggled in close to his grandma's shoulder, feeling so much better. Somehow, he knew that being Lucas Longlegs wasn't such a problem anymore. And he also knew that from now on, the star at the top of every Christmas tree would shine in a really special way for him. And his grandma knew it too, and it became their little secret. Even years later, whenever they saw the tree with a beautiful star on top, Lucas would turn to his grandma and say, "Do you see what I see?" And he knew that she did. Thanks.
Season of the darkest night, what can't find for a golden light? Life, da, 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 we see, star of wonder and mystery, and we sing. What is the story that angels bring? Open your heart, you can hear them sing. world growing wearier day by day. Time to find us a better way, and we say, deep in a stable of baby birth, tremble of love and peace on earth. Every new baby is creation's grace, bring a new hope to a troubled place, and we sing. Ring out the bells in harmony, wrap all the presents in ribbons of love. Hear the wisdom in the song of a dove, the wisdom in the song of a dove, and we sing. I got a no Christmas pageant is perfect until it's not.
Christmas is a special time of giving, but throughout the year, we all give gifts to this, our church community. Sometimes we give every Sunday during our service. Sometimes we give time, some energy, sometimes leadership and new ideas. And every Sunday during our service, we also give our material wealth, which is representative of our time and energy as well. We give because we value what we find here, as well as what we take away. We will now have the morning offering that our collective light may continue to shine ever brighter.
You want to do it now? Okay. If you're participating in the pageant itself, I invite you to join Juliet in the back of the room. In a few moments, we will reenact an age-old story. It is the story of the birth of Jesus. And it will feature the usual characters, angels, wise people, shepherds, and a family of three. We will create a kind of picture or a tableau using words, music, and assorted sizes of real people. But before we create this picture for you, let's talk for a moment about what we mean by it. For we want to avoid the discomfort and disappointment that Luke has suffered when he created his wonderful picture for his family and friends. You remember Lucas? Juliet did such a wonderful rendering of Lucas. He was so sure that everyone would see his picture as he intended it, with no such luck. And there is no such luck with the picture of the Nativity either. For like Lucas' picture, it is a work of art and a wonderful story, and as with all works of art, it is open to interpretation. So you may not see what I see, and I may not see what you see. In fact, I promise that's true. But therein lies its beauty and its depth and its mystery. And perhaps through its telling, we can somehow give voice to those things which have no earthly shape or form. For this is a story representative of spiritual truths and sometimes timeless values, and for a man who tried to teach the world how to truly live. Now, Jesus is at the center of this story, and some people find that awkward, not because of anything that he said or did, but because of the things that have been said about him since his life. For there are those who want to put him in a box with a particular label saying, this is who he was. They want to be very specific. For instance, some might label him Son of God or Messiah or Emmanuel. Others might call him a prophet or a teacher. Still others might call him a political activist or even a rabbic rouser. Such labeling can lead to all kinds of difficulties. So we're not going to try to decide on any particular word that would be used to describe Jesus. You can do that for yourself. What we are going to do is remind ourselves of what he stood for. For there is much that people of all religions can learn from the teachings of Jesus. Consider just a few of them. That we should love one another, even our enemies. That there is power in forgiveness and in turning the other cheek. That we should seek justice in the world and help those less fortunate, the way Jesus did himself. These are lofty ideals, but we need them. Our world needs them, now more than ever. So, as we reenact the story of Jesus' birth, let us try to reclaim his message in a way that is relevant to our lives and to our religious liberalism. Let us make a place for him within the context of our own theology or philosophy, rather than someone else's. The challenge is to ignore the ideas and interpretations that we don't want and keep those that we find valuable and spiritually rich. In the process, we must be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, or in this case, the manger. Jesus is a part of our culture and of our history and deserves a place at our spiritual table. So let us take a few moments of silence to form our own inner picture of the Nativity. What do you see that has value for you, that speaks to your inner soul and helps make your life more holy, more valuable, more meaningful? Who is the babe in the manger? And where are you in the stable? So, let us now return to that stable and see what we can find there.
The story of the birth of Jesus will be told in several parts. After each part, we will all join in singing the responses as outlined in the order of service. Each sung response will then be followed by a solo or group song. Please keep your order of service handy so you'll be ready to participate in the singing. And now the story begins. In the days of Caesar Augustus, it was ordered that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This would give an accurate count of all the people in the land so that each person could be properly taxed. Because of this, everyone had to go to the town of his ancestors in order to be registered. And so it was that Joseph and his fiancée Mary set off on a trip to Bethlehem, the city of David. It was a difficult trip for Mary, for she was pregnant and almost ready to deliver her child. To make matters worse, when they finally arrived in Bethlehem, it was crowded with people who had also come for the census, so there was no room for them at the inn. Joseph, who cared deeply for Mary, was beside himself with worry because of her condition. But finally, he found a stable where they could spend the night. He made her as comfortable as he could, and before long, she gave birth to a fine young son. Using hay from the stable, Joseph fashioned a tiny bed in a small feeding trough and gently laid his newborn child in this lowly manger. Far into the night, he and Mary watched over him, their hearts filled with joy and love. Meanwhile, there were in that same country shepherds in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Suddenly, they were startled by a bright light, and an angel appeared before them. The shepherds were terribly frightened, but the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for I bring you news of great joy. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born who will bring peace and joy to all people. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then the whole sky lit up with a host of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all humankind." After the shepherds heard the angels, they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if we can find this place where the baby is born." So they hurried off and before long found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds were filled with wonder and amazement, for all the things they had heard and seen were just as they had been told.
Thank you.
after Jesus was born, three wise men came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly disturbed, for he knew he had no son who was in line for the throne of Israel. So he summoned the wise men to seek out this child, telling them to come back and let him know exactly where he was. So the wise men, who were astrologers and therefore knew much about the stars, set out on a journey to find the babe in the manger. It wasn't long before they were dazzled by a great star in the east, which seemed to be leading them directly to the birthplace. They traveled many hours, following the star to where it shone down on the stable, and there they found what they had been seeking. When the three wise men saw the newborn baby, they knew that this was the special king they had heard about. But they had been warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod with this news, because the baby would surely be harmed. So before returning to their own country by another route, each one in turn bowed down before the child and presented him with a special gift: gold and frankincense and myrrh. Thank you. And so ends the story of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. It's a story of love and peace and goodwill to all people. It is a story of yearning for that place in our hearts where divinity and humanity interact. But above all, it is a story of hope. For like the babe in the manger, every child who comes into the world brings with it the promise of new life and new opportunity. And therein lies our strongest affirmation, that all things can yet again be born anew.
Concludes our story. There we go. What is Naomi's last name again?
Davis Isgrade.
Davis Isgrade. So Naomi Davis Isgrade is a young child from Ferguson, right? Or Normandy, actually. And we want to offer our gratitude to her for providing the baby Jesus for our worship service. We thought it important to make sure that our baby Jesus was racially accurate given all that has been going on. And so we offer our gratitude to her for providing that. And so with that, we have our closing words. And so ends the story once again. And like Mary, we are left to ponder all these things in our hearts. As we extinguish our chalice, let us remember that the shepherds came to understand, that in the still and quiet of the darkest hour is born the seed of light. That in the still and quiet of the darkest hour is born that seed of light. Though the flame is gone, may our hearts be rekindled again and again through the spirit of the Christmas tree and of every baby child. May it be so.